Hello, here we are again. We continue our series in the book of Revelation. Today we'll be in Revelation chapter 14. Have your Bible ready if you can. Last program, we were looking at the purpose of prophecy. We said it proves the accuracy of Scripture. It proves that God is in control. It gives peace of mind for the Christian so that we can know what's going on in the world today. And it gives an encouragement for us to, as Christians, to have a pattern of life that would be honoring to the Lord. Today, we're going to start in chapter 14. Again, if you can have your Bible ready, it would help you there. We're looking in the book of Revelation. John, of course, wrote this book. He has had a hard life. He's had a hard life because he's been a sincere Christian. And the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that includes you. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. Are you having a hard day? Well, listen to this message and song. It will be worth it all when we see him.
Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over, in God's eternal day, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark, with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Well, John ran the race, and he did see Christ. It says here in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 1, I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And so we see here that John gets a reward for looking. He said, I looked, and lo, what was his reward? He saw the Lamb. He saw something special going on in Mount Zion, 144,000 that were here in the book of Revelation that were serving the Lord. And then he said, I heard a voice. And you have the word voice again three times in verse number 2. And it says they were singing a new song before the throne, and only those 144,000 could sing that song. Why is that? Well, because only they had been through the experience that they had been through, and they're singing about it. Now, Nehemiah could sing the song about what he went through. I didn't ever go through building a temple like he did, but he could sing that song, and I won't be able to sing it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could sing a song about being in that fiery furnace, and there was a fourth in there, like unto the Son of God. They experienced that, and they can sing about that. Then Daniel, he could sing about being in that den of lions, and all the apostles could sing about their lives and what they did. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you going to have anything to sing about when you get there? I hope you are. John was rewarded for looking. He heard a voice. He saw a lot of secrets that God had, and those secrets were revealed to him. Well, in Revelation 14:4, we read, and these are they which were not defiled, referring to that 144,000. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now, if you want to study about the first fruits, we need to look into the context in which that word is presented. Here it has something to do with the tribulation period. Now, it says the 144 were not defiled, and it also says they followed the Lamb whithersoever he went. Now, the situation here when it talks about them being defiled is symbolic. We have examples, all kinds of examples in the Bible of spiritual fornication. I'll give you a few. Isaiah 1 and 21 says, how is the faithful city become a harlot? Now, a city can't become a harlot. It's symbolic. Jeremiah 2 and 20 says, upon every hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Hosea 9 and 11, thou hast gone whoring from God. Exodus 34:15, they went whoring after other gods. In Deuteronomy 31 and 16, this people will rise up early and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers. Then in James chapter 4 and verse number 4, he said, in our dispensation here, he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world with it is enmity with God? This is obviously symbolic of Christians today who are messing around in the world. He says, you are adulteresses and adulterers. Then in Revelation 2 and verse number 20 through 22, it says here that thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. Well, what kind of fornication? To eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, God said, I will cast her into a bed with them that committed adultery with her in the great tribulation. Now, it's obviously symbolic, talking about spiritual fornication. Well, concerning the 144,000, it says in verse number 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, it speaks about their mouth, and there not being any guile in their mouth. The word guile here is used in the area of deceit, and it says they are without fault. If they have no guile, they're going to preach the truth, and they're going to preach the whole truth. Paul could say that in Acts chapter 20. And verse number 27, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. On December the 11th, 1859, Sunday morning, Spurgeon was preaching in his tabernacle, and he says this following quote, if a man would declare the whole counsel of God and not shun to do so, he must be very particular upon crying sins of the times. The honest minister does not condemn sins in the Mass. He singles out separate sins in his hearers, and without drawing the bow at a venture, he puts an arrow on the string, and the Holy Spirit sends it right home to the individual conscience. Unquote. Well, I wish we had more of that kind of preaching today. Today we want to preach the truth, but not the whole truth. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The reason we have apostasy today, it's not because we're not preaching the truth. It's because of what we're not preaching. We're going to preach those things that don't offend anybody. We're going to have politically correct fundamentalism. Yeah, well, that is the pathway to apostasy. Well, John goes on in verse number 6. He said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now, he's preaching this everlasting gospel to everyone. He is saying, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Now, the Bible talks about an everlasting gospel. It talks about the gospel of the kingdom, and there's a difference between those two gospels. The everlasting gospel is something that deals with your eternity. The gospel of the kingdom, well, that lasts, that covers a period of 1,000 years when the Jews, you know, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, they'll have their 1,000-year reign. That's coming up, I think, pretty shortly. But the everlasting gospel deals with your eternity. And so if you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this message is for you. Let me repeat what he said. He said, fear God. He said it with a loud voice. There's a lot of loud voices in the book of Revelation, and you need to hear this. So he says it with a loud voice. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. It's all over here. You better get right with God. It says, worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of the waters. And so what do we need to do? Well, Jesus put it this way, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We have sinned against a thrice holy God. We are sinners, and we need to repent of our sin. Except ye repent, we shall all likewise perish.
Oh, soul, are you weary? Darkness you see, there's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Believe.